need for me to go in first. I didn't realize we were lined up.
Did you want to say so?
No. I can't get up there.
The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in His house on this first Sunday during the season of Lent. Let us prepare to encounter Him this morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, FBC Elon.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us for worship today, this first Sunday in the Lenten season. During the season, may we draw closer to the one who gave us, who gave his all for you and for me. We welcome our first-time visitors. If you are a first-time visitor with us today, we ask if you would fill out a visitor's card that's in the pew in front of you and drop it off in the offering plate as you leave today so that we'll have a record of your visit and can reach out to you. Welcome to the Facebook Live people who are joining us today. We welcome you, and if you would like to download our bulletin, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. If you're a first-time viewer, please drop us an email so that we have a way to connect with you later on in the week. This afternoon, our church council will meet at 4 p.m. today in the fellowship hall, in the seekers classroom. And we do ask each ministry team to please have someone present at the meeting today. 5 p.m. is our next Lenten Bible study. The study is called Seven Words, and today we'll be looking at Today You Will Be With Me in Paradise. So we hope everybody can come out and join. If not, it'll also be on Facebook Live. We'll meet in the fellowship hall, or join us online if you're not able to get here. You can also find it on our website afterwards if later on in the week you have a chance to look at it then. Wednesday, looking ahead this week, we're going to have Circle of Friends will meet at 1:45 and choir rehearsal at 6:30. Our March mission in gathering is our very own food pantry. Our items have been depleted over the last several months. We've given out some food boxes recently. The items that we need are in your bulletin, and they're also in the March newsletter. You can drop those donations off at the communication center or in the fellowship hall. And if you give the office, church office, a little notification, we'll have somebody here that can help get that out of your car. If you're not able to you run in late or need to drop it off, we can assist if you need it. We also have a group of Chrismon. They're called the Chrismon Crew. Our Chrismon ornaments, some are beyond repair, and so we have some dedicated folks that have come together and are replacing these ornaments, and from what I've heard, they're not easy to make. So if you're talented in that regard, please get with Kathy Johnson if you want to help out. And if crafting is not your deal, we have an opportunity for you to help as well. The ornaments are approximately $10 a piece to make. So if you would be willing to make a donation of $10, you can put it in an envelope and put it in the offering tray. You can take it to the office, or you can give it to Kathy Johnson or any of your deacons. Just let us know that it's for the Chrismon tree. We want to replenish those ornaments. They're beautiful, and there's some out in the foyer if you want to see what they look like. They're beautiful. So please feel free to contact Kathy if you have any questions or want to help. Now let us lift praise to our God and King this morning.
I want to say one thing before we get started. I hope everybody remembers Jill. She was here several weeks ago that filled in for Bert when she was down and out with her back, and we welcome Jill back to our congregation again, and then she will be filling in for Bert while she's out with her knee replacement. And Bert is doing very well. Just an update on Bert. She's tough. She's already doing therapy, started therapy Thursday, and is no longer on pain meds and just taking Tylenol. So, and I think Bert is watching, so hey, Bert, and we hope you're doing good this morning. We miss you, but we're glad that Jill's able to fill in for us. Let's stand and let's sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Today. Our scripture today is in Psalms 91, 1 and 2, and 9 through 6. So they'll be in your Bible or on the screen or on your phone, however you'd like to read. We'd love to have you. And because I'm using Cullen's Bible and the print's a little small, I'm going to look up here and read. Honesty is best policy, right? So, you have a beautiful Bible, though. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels in concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Thank y'all. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Lord, you just brought us here, and men built this sanctuary, but your love's here. Salvation is here. Your Holy Spirit is here this morning with us. Lord, we've heard songs that just bring back not just fond memories, but foundations of leaning on you, of knowing that we're in your arms. But Lord, today, as we asked every Sunday, and every day. Open our hearts and our minds and soul to you. Lord, we invite you in, and we need you, Lord, every day. As we peep together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen.
When John was walking up here and I saw that purple Bible, I was like, that can't be his Bible, can it? Our next hymn this morning is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's stand. Highlight this morning, actually, I'm going to highlight two things. On March the 18th, the senior adult group, we're having a senior adult luncheon, which is the 18th at 11:30, and this was postponed from February the 18th, I think it was, because of a lot of sickness, and the weather was really cold and rainy, and just a lot of things going on, and we felt like it was best to postpone it because of health reasons and stuff. So the senior luncheon is now March 18th at 11:30. Same menu, grilled chicken, baked sweet potatoes, green beans, broccoli casserole, rolls and dessert, and Dawn Holt will be the one that's coming for our fitness that day as our guest speaker. And then on April the 1st will be a fun and fellowship trip. And flyers are up. This is the flyer that looks like for the senior adult luncheon. And we need you to sign up before I start the other one, fun and fellowship trip, by next Sunday if possible. so that we'll know the head count. And then on April 1st, and this is not an April Fool's trip now, I promise. This is a real trip. We're going, and it's probably in blue in your classrooms, but this one's in white. This was the original one. We're going to the Paul J. Cinder Botanical Garden, and the tulips are in bloom starting in the next week or so. And the lady said we need to come by the 1st of April to see the tulips. And from what I understand, the tulips are absolutely gorgeous up there. And this is in Kernersville, so it's not far, only right up the road, right past Greensburg. And so we're going to go do that. The tour costs $5, and they're going to walk us around, tell us all about the different tulips that are blooming in the gardens. And then afterwards, we're going to the C&H cafeteria there in Kernersville to have lunch. And we will meet at 8:30 that morning, travel up. Our tour starts at 10 o'clock. And I think they said it was about an hour tour, so we'll be eating lunch about 11:30 and back home by 1 o'clock. So put that on your calendar. Sign-up sheets are in your classrooms, in the foyer, and everywhere, all around the church. Both sign-up sheets are out there. So I need to know by the last Sunday of March, which is March 31st, I think, is the last Sunday, so I could call them and let them know how many we have coming that next day. So that's our senior adult trips for now. And now I will call on John Hines to come give our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Father, we bring our tithes and offerings to your altar, understanding that we have already received the greatest gift of all, the forgiveness of our sins and transgressions through the sacrifice of your Son. Bless our gifts for unfinished kingdom work. Remind us as we worship here that this redemption of our lives did not come without a price. Help us so that we might live always as servants of that boundless love and mercy, making it real to others, knowing we cannot earn this forgiveness, this wiping clean of our sins. We can only hope to reflect such grace and compassion in our encounters with others. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, worship choir, for our special music today. Before we pray this morning, I want to thank Angie Miller and John Hines and John Russell for stepping in to handle some of our worship aspects today. Obviously, Gay for running and heading things up this morning. This morning has not been a good day with my vertigo, and it's still not a good day with my vertigo. It's kind of funny, as we were singing the very first hymn we chose earlier this week, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms and Great Minds Think Alike, because Brian and I were messaging each other just kind of with looks and everything. He said, if there's ever a vertigo hymn, it's Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. That's how I was thinking, man, I've been doing a lot of leaning today, and I will continue to do so. So if you see Gay hop up and grab the stool over here, it's because we've got a little signal going on if I need it. And if you see me clutching the pulpit, either the spirit's moving or the vertigo's hitting. So I'll tell you in advance of that. So it has been a morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we encounter God's word this day. Let's pray. God of all our years, even those weary years, lift us up and guide us forward when we are tired beyond words. Pour your grace into our souls when we give in to sorrow and stray where we were never meant to go. Shepherding God, guide us back to you and show us the path to hope and love, home in your presence, and hope in gratitude, we pray this morning. Amen. I will share with you this morning that as we were driving to church this morning, as Jennifer was driving Luke and I to church, we got to about the end of our neighborhood and got to the stop sign, and I looked and I felt my arm and I said, I left my watch at home, honey. And she said, well, do you want me to turn around? I said, nah, that just gives me permission to preach longer today. So no, that's not the case. I don't ever look at my watch up here anyway. But if I go too long, Gay, there's another look. Just shoot me a look. Yeah, when I see her staring at her arm, I'll know it went too long. There you go. That's right. You did. I looked at the phone before I came up here. So I do want to say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this first Sunday in the season of Lent. The season of Lent began officially this past Wednesday with Ash Wednesday and is the 40-day period that leads up to Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And similar to the season of Advent, which we're a lot more familiar with, which is that time of preparation for Christmas between Thanksgiving and Christmas Day, where we prepare ourselves for the birth of the Christ child, Lent, this season that we're in now, is a time where people will fast, where people will repent, and where people oftentimes will give up something in remembrance of Christ giving up his life for us. People might give up sweets, they might give up coffee, or they might give up something else in remembrance of Jesus. This year, I have decided to give up the vegetable beets in honor of Lent. Actually, I think I'll give it up for an entire year. Maybe I'll give it up for my entire lifetime. I think that's what my choice will be. That purplish, devilish root vegetable. Anyway, with that in mind, over the next several weeks, as we move towards Easter, as we move closer to Easter, I will be preaching about different events from the life of Jesus. To begin this week, we're going to look at a passage which foretells some of the events in the life of Jesus, and I'm going to challenge you with a question a little bit later on in the service. Then, over the next few weeks, as we draw closer, we'll look at passages of Scripture in which specifically tears were involved for Jesus and for others. That's why I've labeled this sermon series Lenten Tears. This morning, we looked at the first of these tears by examining our Savior, Jesus, a man of sorrow. So if you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And I preached on this not too long ago. It's a very familiar scripture passage to many of us. And this first scripture passage looks at the first five verses in this very popular prophetic book, in this prophetic chapter. The words will be displayed on the worship screens behind me as well if you want to follow along that way. So let's read about this man of sorrows. Isaiah 53, 1 through 5. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He has no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. In the book, The Jesus I Never Knew, author Philip Yancey asks a question that I think many of us wonder about. In this book, Yancey asks, does God care about the misery down here, the grief of our lives? Yancey goes on to speak of human life as a drama being played out in which God, the unseen stage manager, came out from behind the curtain and got acquainted with grief in person. He writes, in Jesus, God lay down on the dissection table, as it were, stretched out in cruciform posture for the scrutiny of all the skeptics who ever lived. The passage that we just read from Isaiah is so rich with words about the suffering which was going to happen to Jesus. So much so that this section of Isaiah has come to be called and referred to as the suffering servant. And it refers to the coming of the Messiah, who we now know as Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was literally despised and rejected by the very people he came for. Imagine in your life if the people that you are supposed to be closest to, your family members, your very best friends, rejected you. Imagine one day they look at you and they begin to mock you. They laugh at you. They reject you and they despise you. They see you coming and they go a different way so that they do not have to pass you by. Now, if they do pass you by, they glare at you and they say those nasty little things that only you can hear. In many respects, that was a big part of Jesus' life when he walked this earth. He should have been exalted. People should have understood who this man was, but he did not fit into their nice and neat package of who the Messiah should be. I wonder if Jesus were walking the streets of Elon today, would we be the same way as the Pharisees and reject him as well? Would we join the naysayers, the mockers, the religious elite, because we think we know when we really have no clue at all? So if this Jesus is really real, if he came as Isaiah tells us in verse 4 and 5, that this man of sorrows, this man who was despised and rejected, came for you and he came for me to bear our griefs and our sorrows, then why would we possibly reject him? Why would we not just jump in with all we have to follow him and support him? Well, Isaiah gives us a clear picture in verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. For most of us, We can readily say today that Jesus came to forgive us for our sinfulness. He went to the cross for us. He was wounded. He was pierced. He was beaten, not for his own good. He did not need it. He did not deserve it. He was the sinless one. He came into the world for you and for me so that we could finally stand honest before God, not on our own merits, but because of the work that Jesus did for you and for me. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul said, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Notice that Paul says it is for our sake, not Jesus's. Christ had no sin. So through Christ, we could become righteous in the eyes of God. That does not mean that we are righteous. I hope we understand that. We are not righteous. We are never righteous. But through what Jesus did for us, God now views us as righteous. That is why we can now stand before God without fear, because we fully embrace and accept what Jesus did for us. Yet you always know there's another side to the story, right? There's always something else. Actor Woody Allen once said, "My one regret in life is that I am not someone else." That makes me think of the other side of it all. The regret that we refuse to let go of. How often do we think to ourselves, "Lord, let me be just more like so-and-so." Or, "Lord, just take me away from this place so I do not have to deal with my own pain." Or, "Lord, I cannot let go of my past. Lord, just do it for me." Or, "I want to change, but not too much after all, Lord. I revel in my sick hatred of myself." I know that's pretty harsh, but if you cut through it all, we often get that way. We want to change, yet we really do not want to change. It means we would have to let go of the sin nature that we are so addicted to. So we would just rather accept that the life of less than is what we're destined to be in. Yet part of the purpose of Jesus coming and forgiving our sinfulness and being the man of sorrows was to erase our regrets, to dry our tears of sorrows, and to finally give us a peace that only through him can we possibly understand. Let's look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians about this. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians 7, 10, and 11, and it'll be on those worship screens behind me. But look at these two verses that Paul sticks in the middle of this very, very interesting letter. Paul says these words, verses 10 and 11. "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what the godly sorrow has produced in you, what earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter." But look back at verse 10, just one second again. "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death." Paul is telling us that Jesus, the one who was pierced and wounded for you and me so that we could have forgiveness of sins, the one who died and rose again so we could have eternal life. This is where I'm going to push a pause button for a second, because I can't go further in my sermon if we don't believe what I just said. If we don't believe that statement right there, there is no point for anybody in here to listen to the rest of my sermon. So let me go back and say what I just said. Paul is telling us that Jesus, the one who was pierced and wounded for you and for me, so that we could have forgiveness of sins, the one who died and rose again, so we could have eternal life. If we don't believe that, if we don't have that basic belief in us, then there's no point in talking about the rest. There's no point. Because you can't get to the rest without that basic belief. It's kind of like a door. You can't get to the rest of the house without going through the front door. And that's the front door. So my question to you is this: do you believe that? Now, if I was at a concert, or if I was at a sporting event, and you saw that, or that was stated, what would be happening is the crowd would be going crazy. The crowd would be going crazy because their favorite band played their favorite song, and everybody's singing along, and they're swaying, their hands are up in the air, and things are going great. They pull their cell phones out, they turn their lamp on, their light on, you know, and they start swaying it along. You've been there, right? Or at least you've seen it on TV, right? Or if you're at your favorite sporting event, your team has just hit the game-winning shot, and everybody's cheering and everybody's screaming. That's what I just said. But what happens in church? We sit solemnly, quietly, not to disturb everybody. We don't want to bother anybody. But what was just stated was the foundational piece of why we gather here as a church. It's what has made us who we are. It's why we call ourselves Christians. So if there's no excitement behind it, what's the point? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. At least we're in an amen church, right? Sometimes. Not all the time. We can't go further if we don't believe that. That's foundational. That's foundational. It's not just foundational for a Baptist church. That's foundational for every Christian church. That's where we start. So if we don't believe that, everything else is gone. Okay? I'm glad we got a little amen. Now this leads us to that question I told you at the very beginning I was going to ask you today. If Jesus did that, if he was pierced, if he pierced for our sins, if he gave his life for us, he came, lived, and died for you to take away our sins. If he did that, why do we still have tears of regret, tears of sorrow in our lives? If he came to give his life for us, to give it all for us, how in the world can we still possibly have regret and sorrow in our lives? Why can't we feel the joy of forgiveness purchased by the man of sorrows who we call Jesus? Do you know what I mean? Why is it that we can admit what Jesus did for us, but we still cannot get over our sinfulness, and we cannot get past the fact that God really did forgive us? He really did. So stop throwing dirt on yourself. Stop kicking yourself because God has forgiven you. If God has forgiven you, why can't you forgive yourself? If God has forgiven you, if the creator of the world has forgiven you, if the person, the God who sent his son to die on the cross for you has forgiven you, why can't we forgive ourselves? There is nothing that you can do that would prevent God from forgiving you. Why can't we get past that? Look again at what Paul says in verse 10. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. When we fully repent, when we do it because we have been convicted by God of our sinfulness, when we do it because we believe in our heart, our spirit, and our mind, and our whole being who Jesus is, then we will turn to God and repent, which means to change and turn from our sinfulness, from our old ways which were against God. It means we make that 180-degree turn, leaving the old ways and following the new ways in Christ. It does not mean that we will now be perfect. Far from it. We won't be. But we will have experienced the power of God's grace in our lives. We will know what it is like to be forgiven and released from a bondage that only Christ can let us free from. Have you ever been stopped by a police officer? You know, you rolled through that stop sign, or you were going a little too fast and you got pulled over. But instead of giving you a ticket, the police officer extended you just a little bit of grace and said, go and sin no more. Go and just don't do it again. That's a small example of what God does for us. Just like Jesus did to the woman caught in adultery, or to the Samaritan woman at the well, even the criminal hanging on the cross beside him, Jesus did not condemn them. The people of the world condemned them, and they condemned themselves, but Jesus did not. That's the key. What did Jesus do? He released them. That is the great news that the Man of Sorrows gives to us on this very first Sunday of Lent. You see, we often have regrets, but regrets are not the same as repentance. I have lots of regrets in my life. Some were not sinful at all. Some were not. Notice that Paul tells us that worldly grief will lead to death. In other words, we can grieve and be sorrowful about what we have not attained according to the world's standards, but that's not going to get us far with God. We can be grieved we did not make the business deal or buy that stock or fire that employee, or we can err on the side of some of the legal but unethical business practices, or we can seek to harm others and protest against one another, which is not pleasing to God, but that's worldly grief. That's worldly sorrow, and that's not repentance. We can even contrast that with the tears of Judas, who regretted turning Jesus over to the Roman authorities. Judas had more of a worldly grief. He made a mistake about Jesus and regretted what he did and was so overcome with that decision that, what did he do? He hung himself. Compare that to Peter, who said he would forever stand with Jesus. Then when the heat was turned up upon him, Peter denied any association with Jesus 3 different occasions. Then when he heard the rooster crow, Peter remembered what Jesus had said, and he bitterly wept, a sign of repentance. That's godly grief. See, there's a difference between worldly grief and godly grief. And what do we later see? We see that Peter became an important leader of the early church. In closing, when we call on God, our tears of sorrows will be turned into tears of repentance as we turn toward Jesus Christ. As we gather on this first Sunday of Lent, a season set aside to draw closer to our Lord, if you do not know Jesus as the one who will take your sorrows away, if you don't know that foundational belief that we have to start with, if there is a sin issue in your life, if you have not confessed to Christ, but you are still in bondage, take a moment this morning and ask Jesus not only to forgive you, but that you would forgive yourself as well. And I'll be down front as we sing our closing hymn, and I want you to come forward and start during the season of Lent with that foundational piece so we can move forward, so we can move forward together. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Man of Sorrows forgives you. Now is a time for you to forgive yourself. If you've already made that foundational peace, but you are still holding on to regret and sorrow in your lives, I want you to come down front or wherever you are in the pew, and I want you to let it go. Because Christ has forgiven you. Your God has forgiven you, and He wants you to let it go. Let your sorrows go. Give them to Him. He wants them. He's already forgiven you. You've got to forgive yourself. As we begin the season of Lent, let's start with our focus in our mind on the one who came and gave it his all. Turn those tears of sorrow over to Him today. That's how we draw closer to Him during the season of Lent. Let us pray. Father, as we come to you in this beginning of this new season, a season where we'll culminate going to the cross, a season where we will gather on so many high and holy days. Father, we begin this Sunday. This Sunday, as we recognize what you've done for us, we recognize that we proclaim it. But Father, maybe there's something holding us back. We give it to you this day as the one who came and took it all. And you're just ready to take it with you and to free us from whatever's holding us back, the burdens that we're holding on to. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus, the man of sorrows who could take our sorrow and regret away. May we start out this season of Lent with that burden being gone. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we stand to sing our closing hymn this morning, whatever decision you need to make today, whether it's beginning a relationship with Him, releasing any regret or sorrow, or seeking to follow a church that seeks to draw closer to Him during the season of Lent, First Baptist Elon can be that church for you. Whatever it needs to be, make that decision today. Let's stand and sing this morning.
The hymn we're about to sing is to the tune of Love Divine, O Love Excelling. Let's stand.
As you leave today, go out as a freed people. He has taken that sorrow. Don't carry it with you as you leave this place today. I hope to see you this afternoon for church council at 4, for a Bible study at 5 o'clock. Go in peace and make a difference in this world. That's what we need to do. Go in peace.